our time here tonight. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that Jesus lives. And if that isn't the truth, then nothing we do here tonight makes any sense at all. But it being true, it fills our heart with joy and gladness, and we're happy to know the Lord is our Savior, risen Savior, and coming again Savior. We pray that you'd bless our service tonight. May everything we say and do bring honor and glory to you. We do thank you for the occasion tonight, 95 years for Mrs. Stout, and I just pray you'd bless her and continue to bless her and make her a blessing to us as she has been all these years. And so give us a good time of fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, right at this time, I'm going to ask Sam to come. He's got a hymn history. And so, Sam, you come.
Good evening, everyone. First off, I need two volunteers to hand out some pages of song lyrics. Okay. There are 20 copies of the smaller ones that Joey has, and Chris has ones that are slightly larger, so if you have a little bit of trouble reading, you might want to raise your hand so that Chris gives you a copy that has the larger print. And those are the words that we'll be using as we sing tonight, tonight's hymn. And we did the same thing, if you were here last month, we did the same thing. I had some extra verses, so I made copies of the lyrics the same way that we'll be doing that tonight. By way of introduction, I would like to say that I was influenced regarding the selection of tonight's hymn story by Dr. Don Jasmin during his three-day lectures here, October 13 to 15, on the history of biblical Christian fundamentalism in America. While he was mentioning the many good things that were done by Christian fundamentalists over the years, I was recalling many of the hymn histories I have been doing here at Ray Street Baptist Church. The things I came across while doing research for these hymn histories have been a reflection of the godly work of those Christians. At the same time, there is a sad side to all this because true Christian fundamentalism has been attacked and shoved into the background by an ever-growing godless society, as well as by modernist new evangelicals, who for the large part are Christians in name only. However, there is no need to be depressed or discouraged about the rise of all the apostate isms out there today. For one thing, I believe we can look around us and see the prophecy of Scripture coming to pass. We can even expect things to get worse as the rapture approaches. Wherefore, we need not be discouraged, but comforted, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For another thing, we have a great legacy of wonderful hymns that not only remind us there were better days in America's past, but help us today in our Christian walk in these apostate times and encourage us with the great blessings that lie ahead. I think we need to be reminded that religious apostasy and the decline of biblical Christianity is not isolated to our own country, but has also occurred in the rest of the world as well. In Europe, this happened long before it did here in America, but there were faithful Christians there to take a stand for God and the Bible, as tonight's hymn story will illustrate. The hymn selected for this month is "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" and is number 499 in our blue hymn book. You may want to use the music score there if you're going to sing a harmony part, but please remember to use the handout for the lyrics, as we'll be singing all seven verses, which are not in our hymn book. And I apologize that I forgot to number those verses. It makes it a little easier to follow around, but I realized that after I made all the copies. And please keep those copies of the lyrics for yourself, and if you want to write the numbers 1 through 7 on those verses, go right ahead. The main source for tonight's hymn story is 101 More Hymn Stories by Kenneth W. Osbeck. Pictures and some additional information are from these websites, nethymnal.org and wikipedia.org. The words to this song were written by Isaac Watts, born July 17, 1674, died November 25, 1748. The music was written by Thomas Augustine Arne, born March 12, 1710, died March 5, 1778. Pictures related to this hymn story are attached to the whiteboard right here for your viewing convenience. There are two pictures of Isaac Watts that would be on the left as you look there, which are from paintings, as are the two pictures of Thomas Arne, since photography did not exist as a usable process until the 1820s. There is also a picture of the cover of an early hymn book by Watts, and also a photograph of a statue of Watts that is in Southampton, England. As a brief biography, Isaac Watts is recognized as the father of English hymnody, as he was the first prolific and popular English hymn writer, credited with some 750 hymns. He was known as a dissenter because of his nonconformist stand against the Anglican Church of England. Due to his nonconformity, Watts was unable to attend either Oxford or Cambridge, and instead went to the dissenting academy at Stoke Newington in 1690. And as far as I can tell, that was the actual name of that school, Dissenting Academy. Please listen now as I read the story behind tonight's hymn. In Isaac Watts' time, much persecution was inflicted upon the English dissenters, those who had split from the official state Anglican Church. Such dissenting churches were known as the Free Churches. Many of these 17th and 18th century believers were imprisoned for their convictions. Isaac Watts' father, a learned deacon in a dissenting congregational church in Southampton, England, was in prison at the time of his son's birth because of his nonconformist beliefs. Stalwarts such as Isaac Watts became resolute and fearless in their proclamation of the gospel. This hymn reflects these strong convictions. The hymn was written in 1724 following a sermon by Watts entitled Holy Fortitude, or Remedies Against Fears. It was based on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, but you like men, be strong. In addition to being a preacher and a poet, Watts was an ardent student of theology and philosophy. His scholarly versatility is shown in such literary products as his Treatise on Logic, Elements of Geography and Astronomy, Philosophical Essays, and Improvement of the Mind. His textbook, Logic, was used at such universities as Oxford, as well as leading colleges in the United States. Despite his many scholarly accomplishments, Isaac Watts is best known to posterity for his scriptural and simply stated hymns, such as this challenging text. Dr. Samuel Johnson, noted hymnologist, has written of Watts, "Few men have left behind such purity of character or such monuments of laborious piety." Isaac Watts was born on July 17, 1674 in Southampton, England. He was the eldest of nine children. As a boy, young Isaac displayed literary genius, writing verses at a very early age. Later, a wealthy benefactor offered to give him a university education if he would agree to become a minister in the established church. This he refused to do, but prepared instead for the independent ministry. In 1707, he published his famous collection of 210 hymns, Hymns and Spiritual Songs, the first real hymn book in the English language. The picture of that book cover is right here on the board. 12 years later, he published his Psalms of David, a metrical version of the Psalter, but as he himself stated, rendered in the language of the New Testament and applied to the Christian state of worship. He died on November 25, 1748, and was buried at Bunhill Fields Cemetery, London, near the graves of other dissenting stalwarts of that day, such as John Bunyan. A monument to Watts' memory was placed in Westminster Abbey, the highest honor that can be bestowed upon an Englishman. Isaac Watts is also the author of these hymns, Joy to the World, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, Jesus shall reign. O God, our help in ages past, and when I survey the wondrous cross. That concludes the hymn story for tonight, and I thank you for listening and pray that this story has been a blessing to you. When it comes to our time to share the gospel message or take a stand for God and the Bible, let's be encouraged by the examples of our many faithful brothers and sisters in the Lord who went before us. Please join me now in singing tonight's hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross?
Mary.
dying, you save me, bury, carry my rising, justify. One day he's coming. And that's it. That's the whole gospel in a nutshell right there. And you're singing it. Boy, if you're not saved and you're here tonight, get saved. So you can enjoy all these blessings. I was just thinking about that word neo-orthodoxy that Don Jasmine was talking about. You know, the neo-orthodox takes all those themes that we just sang about there. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried it all. They say, well, you know, whether Christ really lived, we don't know. But if he did, he certainly is a fine example for us to follow. Dying, well, we all don't believe in the vicarious substitutionary death of Christ. We don't need him to die for us, but he was a good example in dying for us, a good martyr. You know, changing the idea, but holding on to the name or the theme, but changing what it means, you know. And coming again, of course, would be having a positive attitude, self-esteem, you know, on and on. That's neo-orthodoxy. It started way back. It's still going on today. No, folks, I believe every one of those things, literally, literally, he did those things for me in order that I might live and have eternal life and that I might have a mansion up in heaven. 685. 685 is the next one that she likes. She said, I've got a mansion. And so we'll stand and sing if you'd like. You don't have to if you don't want to. If you're too old or sick or feeble. Otherwise, let's stand and sing it out.
I'm satisfied with just Christ below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver.
Another one, 790. After which, Jason's going to sing another special, one that Nana has requested. All right, number 790, God is still on the throne. Even after 95 years right now, he's still on the throne, and he will be long into eternity. Amen for that. We've got some guys that think that they're sitting on a throne, right? Well, our Savior's going to go on forever and ever. We're going to be happy people then. 790, God is still on the throne. Thank you.
the old house I'm living in is needing some repair. The windows and their shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I keep telling myself I'm gonna fix them when I get a little time. But all I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Seems that's what I'm thinking about most of the time. Oh, but soon, yes, very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind. Lately I've got leaving on my mind. So I guess I should be looking for another place in which to live. But I can't seem to get excited about this world and what it can give. No, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all for just one solitary dime. For what good would the world do me with leaving on my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. See, that's what I'm thinking about most of the time. Oh, but soon, yes, very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind. All I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Seems that's what I'm thinking about most of the time. Oh, but soon, yes, very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind. 'Cause all I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. All I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind.
Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Would you believe me if I say I won't be long tonight? All those in favor say amen. You be careful now. Watch out. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. See if you can figure out why I'm picking this little passage. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul says to the preacher Titus, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That probably apply to a good bunch of you guys here tonight. Just joking a little bit, all right? Aged men. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Let us pray. Our Father, help us as we pass our days here on this earth to live them out in holiness, and according to the instruction given right here in our passage of Scripture. Help us to find where we fit in this passage, and help us to live it out, either until the day of our death, or the day of our going home in the rapture to be with the Lord, which could be at any moment. For the world needs to see the testimony of us, the believers, walking in the footsteps of Christ. And may it not be said at the end of our life that there's an evil thing to be brought up. May they be speechless, not able to bring up a single evil thing. Help us, Lord, to walk in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The aged men, be sober. You know, that's in control of yourself. Obviously not filled with wine. Grave. I don't know. That doesn't mean in the grave. But it has the idea of being somber, not wild, grave, temperate, having your body in control. Used to, in the old days, and I remember Mrs. Bush Sr. talking about the temperance movement. The temperance movement. The women's temperance movement. You know what that was? That was going on during the days of Prohibition. It was mainly the women who pushed that through. You know that? They were upset with their husbands getting drunk all the time. And many of them even more upset because it was leading to a lot of ungodliness and wickedness and turning people away from the gospel. So many of them started the women's temperance movement. Some had wrong reasons for being involved in it. You know, more of just a legal type of aspect to it. Others we're spiritually moved, scripturally moved, to be a part of that. Temperate. In control. They call it temperance movement because booze flowing freely caused people not to be in control. And we have a big problem with that in our country today. And we need, as Christians, to take our stand against that type of activity. I am a total abstainer and believe the Bible teaches that. Even though I know that people are going to say, in verse 3, not given to much wine, so you can have a little bit. I don't believe it's talking about, you know, how, well, you can take this amount and it won't bother you. I would believe that if it's talking about that you can only have a certain amount, that the Bible would have to be just a little bit more clearer because, quite frankly, some people can get drunk a lot faster than other people can get drunk. And some do not need too much to be already not in control of themselves. I believe the not much wine just has reference to drinking as the common people of the day did back in that time. And if some want to even bring in Jesus making wine at the marriage feast, I will tell you that the word for wine does not necessarily always have to refer to getting drunk on it, but grape juice. And those people had the best grape juice they ever tasted that day. And they questioned concerning it afterward. And I know what people want to do who want to make excuses for drinking and so forth. And bring that in there and make Jesus like as if he was a bartender that day. Absolutely not. Especially when there's a curse in the book of Habakkuk for those who put the bottle to the neighbor's lips to make him drunken. Woe be to him. Jesus would be bringing the curse down upon himself. I'm a total abstainer and believe we should stay away from that stuff completely. And especially given the types of drinks that are available today. In no way should you ever put it to your lips. You say, well, one won't bother. That's how every drunk starts, folks. It starts with the first one. The same way with smoking. I watched a young man and a girl walking down the bridge over here on Race Street. Yesterday it was. And, oh, just how cool they looked with the cigarette, carrying the cigarette along with them. I thought, it won't be long. They'll be wishing they could somehow get rid of the cigarette in their hand. Especially as they lay in a hospital bed unable to breathe with emphysema and so forth. And on we go. And nicotine being the world's most addictive drug, I may be right or may be wrong, known to man. Nicotine. I do know someone who can deliver you from that. He can deliver you from that. He can deliver you from drink. He can deliver you from drugs. And it's my Savior, Jesus Christ. This whole matter is real. Sin is real. And He saves sinners from sin. And He does set people free. But you've got to be willing. You've got to say, I want to be set free. I'm tired of the chains of sin. And aged men, be temperate. Sound in faith, amen. You know what? Go to a good church where they're sound in faith. Hey, we got churches all over the place. I was again scanning through the Christian channels today, and I was picking up these charismatic groups. There was probably about 30 people in this one on this one platform, and the guy goes like this, and they all fall back. I'm saying to myself, where in the world is that in the Word of God? What kind of garbage is this called Christianity? Yeah. How about you all stand up tonight? Let's see if it works. All right? And you all fall back. And I saw another time, there's people gyrating. I mean, they looked like they were having some kind of a fit on the floor. Where is this in the Bible? What kind of stuff is this going on? Sound in faith, folks. Sound in faith. And then they were having a word from heaven, women's conference. A word from heaven. How about a word from the book? A word from the book. A word from the heavens. They're always looking for extra experiential things. We need to get back to the book. Sound in faith. And where's the faith found? It's found in here. That's where it's found. This is the faith, men, you need to have in charity, in patience, that the aged women likewise. I'd like to honor my wife's grandmother tonight along these lines. 95 years old, and a good portion of the latter years spent in the confines and the sphere and influence of Christianity. And a husband who loved the Lord as well, and who was marvelously saved and delivered from slavery of nicotine as well, and the bottle as well. Oh boy, the stories he could tell. And it's God saved him. And when he wasn't saved until after Nana, Helen Stout, was saved. He was already saved. He got saved afterward. And I will tell you that Mrs. Stout was a changed woman as well. We won't tell the stories about her before she was saved, but I'll tell you what, she was saved and her life was changed. And it's a shame to speak of those things which were done before the Lord, and so we won't even bring them up, will we, Nana? We won't bring them up. But I tell you what, it's been good to have her around, serving the Lord as she has, being a good testimony, and standing right there by her man, Pop Stout, right behind him all the time. Never give up. You know, wives, your husbands may not be perfect, although they probably tell you they're perfect. You just stand behind them anyway. And pray for them. And when they do wrong, encourage them to do the right. Pray for them as they may do wrong, that God would help them to do what is right. The family is being attacked today. The marriage institution is being attacked today. And you need to be very careful and nurture those relationships according to the scripture right here. And one of the ways you can nurture that is to listen to the aged women. What are they to do? It says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Well, if I did what Mrs. Stout did, I'd have to be in church all the time. Amen. Amen. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Where else should you be on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night? You go to church on Sunday morning and then you're in a hellhole somewhere else on Sunday night? Is that good? Is that right? Are you at the theater? Are you at the dance? What, are you at a social activity? Standing there with your glass of milk while everybody else is drinking? Well, I'm maintaining a good... You ought to be at church. Go to church. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness. Not false accusers. You know, you can't just be walking around accusing, slander, gossip, all this kind of stuff that goes on. Not given to much wine, I already mentioned that. Teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. I've heard some great pieces of wisdom come forth from Mrs. Stout. You do well to listen. If you're having trouble, just ask her, what do you think, Mrs. Stout? She can still give you some good counsel. She'll probably say, do what the Bible says to do. And verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. If you're here on Wednesday night, you'll hear her say, would you pray for my daughter and pray for my son? They're not saved yet. They need to be saved. Love your children. And it doesn't matter what age they are. You need to love your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and do everything you can to make sure they hear as often as they can hear about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He can do in their heart and life. Make that the primary thing of your life, to bring your children up in the way of the Lord and to take your children to heaven with you. That's your goal. I want to take my children with me to heaven. You know, many of you may never even have ever led anyone to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, by what I mean by that, you know, you're bowing your head together and that person's getting saved. But if you can take your children to heaven with you, as far as I'm concerned, you're a successful soul winner. If you get your own family all into heaven, if by God's grace and mercy He allows you to help others come along with you too. Amen! But I can't help but think that even if I led thousands of people to the Lord and left my own to drop into hell, I'd have a hard time with that. Somehow. I'd have a hard time. Why don't you come out on Wednesday night and pray for your children and ask the others to pray it together with you. Or an unsaved mate or whatever the situation is. Love your husbands. Love your children. Be discreet. That's the ability to use wisdom. And God will give you that ability as you pay attention to the Word of God. Chaste. Clean, that's what that means. Clean in living and behavior. Look at this one. Boy, is this one outdated or what, huh? Is the Bible outdated? No, you know what's outdated? The culture's outdated. That's the problem. The culture's out of line. The devil has our home so split up and busy doing everything but what a home should be doing these days. Ever since World War II and Rosie the Riveter got involved in the workplace, it just has gone in an opposite direction. And I would have to say, not for the better, but for the worse. Latchkey children coming home, getting off the bus and going home to a place where mom isn't there and dad is not there. You see them every day if you go around 2:30, 3 o'clock, when they all go home. And who knows what kind of wickedness is going on while mom and dad are making the big bucks. The children of our nation are going to hell. If I know it's tough, and economics are tough, but you need to make it happen that you have a home life. I was listening to KYW. They had a study report this morning. I heard it coming up Ray Street here to check the heat at around 6 o'clock this morning. They said the families, the children that sit around a supper table are less likely to get in trouble than those who don't have a gathering around a table. I mean, that's the best we can do today in a report. But I tell you what, as you can see the report indicates, you need to do it. Keepers at home. And you know what, even the grandchildren need to have it. If the parents aren't going to be there, grandparents, see what you can do about providing that. The most you can, the best you can. I know we got some grandparents here tonight who are in charge of children and that. Take every advantage you have from your children and your in-law children to train those grandchildren up in the way of the Lord. Take every opportunity you get. If they let you take them to church, take them to church. Say, well, I'd much rather that they take them. If they're not going to go to church and they let you take them to church, you get them to church. You get them in that Sunday school class. You get them to hear the songs of the blessed and the saints and let them hear and all that. You just take every advantage you can to raise that child up in the way of the Lord. I know it may not be your primary responsibility, but if you can, do it. Do it. At the aged women, likewise, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. You know, keepers at home means dwellers at home. It just isn't happening today, is it? But I think you need to try to make it happen as much as you can. I think that even homeschooling could be put right in there. Homeschool. Homeschool those children. You know, I can't homeschool. I don't know. You taught them how to speak, didn't you? You taught them how to get on the potty and get off the potty, didn't you? You taught them how to walk. You taught them how to talk. You taught them how to say yes, sir, no, sir, or thank you, and welcome, and please. You taught them all that. You can teach. You can teach. It's not that far out of the realm of reality. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And it says young men likewise. Let me stop with that. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Why should I walk and talk with the Lord and be faithful to Him? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Many times our behavior brings reproach upon the word of God. The Lord, the word. Because of what we do, people say bad things about the Bible. Because of the things we do. Our lives, Christian, need to match up with what's found in this Bible. So that rather than people blaspheming the Bible, they say, wow, I'm watching somebody whose life has been transformed by what he has found in that Bible, that book. And they may then seek to follow in your footsteps. I encourage you, take the example given here tonight and the scriptures that back it up, and walk ye in them until you die. Until you die. Or, what's the other way? The rapture of the church. At any moment, we could be caught home to be with our bridegroom, Savior Jesus Christ. Let's live for Him. Well, one more song before we have our fellowship and celebrate the birthday is number in your spiral book. What song do you think it might be? Number 19, the other person said, "Where We'll Never Grow Old." Amen. That is the song. Let's stand and sing number 19, "Where We'll Never Grow Old." us singing this song. The angels up in heaven. Why, now listen to those people, Lord. Where will they think they're coming up here and they're not going to grow old. And it's right. We don't grow old up here. Everything stays as it always is. It's blessed. It's perfect. It's wonderful. They don't get old up here. Oh, Lord, those people don't know what they're singing about totally. Let them enjoy it, the angels say probably, you know. Oh, listen to that. Listen to that sound coming up out of that Ray Street Baptist Church there. Where will never grow old? They probably wonder, what a song. Who came up with that one? Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Here they're talking about in verse 2. In that beautiful home where we'll never more roam, we shall be in a bye-bye. Happy praise to the King. Oh, they can't wait to get up here and praise the King. I can't. Can't wait. Let's sing it again. Think about these things. Oh, boy. How about it? Are you going there? If you're not going to heaven, you need to get saved. Talk to me afterward, and we'll lead you to Christ. We'll help you get saved and go to heaven. You got to admit you're a sinner, and you need Jesus as your Savior. But if you're already saved, enjoy this as we sing it again. Oh, boy, where we'll never grow old. Anywhere. Where else in all the world can you have a time like this? In another good fundamental local church. Otherwise, it can't be had. Can't be had. And none of you had to pay to get in here, did you? Well, you had to pay to get out, though. All right. But you didn't have to pay to get in here. Boy, I came. I couldn't even find a place to park in my own parking lot out there. I said to Dave and Gloria, hey, you have to have tickets to come to this place here? I saw them walking on the street. Amen. Good. It's good to be saved. Good to know I'm going to heaven. And what a joy to have a 95-year-old singing Where We'll Never Grow Old. Now, she really knows what that means, you know. No more getting pains or aches or back problems, right, Nana? No more back problems. And the eyes will be fine. What else isn't working at 95? Everything. Everything's shutting down. But actually, I think Nana's in pretty good shape. But she won't agree with that. But I mean, I think she's in pretty good shape at 95 years old. Well, we're going to sing happy birthday to her. I don't know if we can get Caleb to sing happy birthday to her or not. He was doing it earlier, wasn't he? Did he sing happy birthday earlier? Jason, tell him to come on up here. Don't say anything. Just leave him alone. Take that out. Oh boy, he's one of these contemporaries. Let's sing that. Let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Sing to Nana, and we'll just sing the regular way, you know, dear Helen, Nana, whatever you say. Okay, here we go.
Happy birthday.